Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Thank you, God. Even when I was faithless, you remained faithful. That's because he is. He can't deny himself. That's who he is. That's what he is. That's his very nature. Many people have spent a lot of their life running away from God for whatever reason, like a fugitive running from the police. And for whatever reason, they don't want to talk about God. If you mention anything about God, they don't talk to me about that. Or if you want to talk about church, don't talk to me about it. I don't want to know about anything. I don't want to talk about God. I don't want to talk about church. You try to witness to them, and they shut you down. Well, they're running from God. Jonah in the Bible was a man famous for doing that. This whole book is about a man running from God, then finally a man running to God when he finally gets as low as he can go, and then he runs with God for a while. But in the end, the book ends kind of like an Alfred Hitchcock movie where it doesn't end right, because it's written for you to be able to write the ending to your own life story. How's it going to turn out? And we began last week looking at the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 talks about Jonah, a son of Amittai. A word of the Lord came to him. And I shared with you last week how important it is. The word of the Lord comes to you through Scripture, through a prophetic word, but Scripture is a prophetic word that's been proven over and over again. So when you read the Bible, it's reading you. That's one way you know the will of God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For its wickedness has come up before me. God had a plan to rescue the people of Nineveh. It was over 120,000 people that lived there, men, women, and children. Most of which had never heard the gospel. They were a wicked people. They had tormented the Hebrew people. They were like a modern-day ISIS. In fact, Nineveh is the city of Mosul today that ISIS actually controls. And Jonah had a hatred for the Assyrians because of maybe how they treated some of his relatives and treated some of his people. He had no regard for them. He would be the type of person that would say today, I think you ought to drop a bomb on them and blow them off the face of the earth. And some of you have said that about Iran. And I want to tell you, I want to warn you, that's not God's attitude. That's the world's attitude. And so Jonah hated this, and so when he got this word from the Lord to go to Nineveh and cry out against it, he already knew exactly what was going to happen. This word cries means God's voice is going to come through you, Jonah, and I'm going to speak to these people, and I'm going to warn them of the judgment to come in order that they'll run to me and receive grace and mercy instead of judgment. He knew that that would happen, and he didn't want that to happen. He'd rather see them die and go to hell than turn to God. Now, don't be all uppity about that. Have you ever hated anybody so bad that you wanted to see them die? Maybe they hurt you. Maybe they molested you. Maybe they hurt one of your children. Maybe they hurt your family. They did wicked things to you, and they got away with it. And in your heart of hearts, you long for the day that they would just die. You wouldn't dare pray for their salvation because you think they deserve to be in hell. Come on, church. This is in the Bible for a reason. And so this is the way Jonah felt toward these people. And Jonah was a very famous and respected prophet, by the way. He'd already prophesied in 2 Kings 14:25, something that was going to happen, and it happened. So in Israel, he was a pretty famous preacher. I mean, he had a great following. He had a pretty comfortable life. Wherever he went, people wanted to hear what he had to say, and they believed he heard from the Lord. And so when he spoke, there were people there to listen. So he had a pretty comfortable life. And so when all of a sudden God sends this word that he didn't want to hear, I want you to rise and go to Nineveh, Jonah wasn't excited about it at all. He said, no, not me. You got the wrong guy. Send somebody else. I'm not willing to go. How many of you realize you can't tell God no? You can tell him, but it ain't going to work. And so it says in verse 3, Jonah arose and went up. He flee to Tarshish. He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. How many of you can't flee from the presence of the Lord? David wrote, if I died and went down into Sheol, the place of departed spirits, even there, God, you'd be there. You can't flee from God. Certainly Jonah knew this, but his mind was made up. He was so stubborn, so obstinate to have his own way. I'm not going to do this, because he already figured he knew how things were going to turn out. He didn't like the outcome, that he wanted to go to Tarshish. And remember, Tarshish at that time was as far as any sailor or as far as any boat had ever gone on the face of the earth. At that time, they believed the earth was flat, many people. And so merchants' boats had only gone as far as the city of Tarshish, someplace over in Spain. And the word Tarshish, by the way, means refinery. So prophetically, little does Jonah know, where he's trying to go to is a place where he's going to be refined and refocused. But he never makes it there, praise God. But that was his plan. So he goes down to the city of Joppa, where my brother and I, we were there just in April. We were there at the city of Joppa, and it was at that port right there in the beautiful Mediterranean Sea that there were ships would come in, and they would take passengers, or they would take goods and go to different places, or it was a port, and still is. And so he goes down to Joppa, probably about a 35-mile trip, after he hears this word from the Lord in his homeland, probably around Nazareth, and he makes his way to Joppa, about 35 miles. So for 35 miles now, this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision, it's ringing in his ears, arise and go to Nineveh and preach to that great city. Arise, and he blocks it out of his ears. He's na 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 na. He's singing songs, whatever you do to block that noise out. And he instead stubbornly went the opposite way. He goes down to the city of Joppa. He pays the fare, and it just so happens there was a boat going to Tarshish. Well, it must be God. It just so happened there was a boat going to Tarshish, the very place where he wanted to go. And so he gets on this boat, he pays the fare, and he gets on the boat, and he goes down to his cabin probably, and the Bible says he laid down and took a nap. And said, call the cabin boy when we get there to come wake me up. And he's just in that boat, he's thinking, whew, that's over with. I'll never have to deal with that again. God's going to leave me alone. He must be okay with it, because there was a ship here. Things have worked out. I had the money to pay the fare. The ship was here. I mean, that's a green light from God, isn't it? Can I get a witness from somebody? Anybody? Don't you know when things work out, it's got to be God. I got peace about it. Preacher, I got peace about it. I mean, me and my girlfriend, we're living together, but we know we're not supposed to live together. And even though I'm still married, I'm separated from my wife, but we've prayed about this, preacher. I got peace about it. Oh, I got stories to tell you. You don't have any idea. You got stories, brother. I've got peace about it. Well, that's famous last words. Jonah had peace about it. He was able to go in the belly of this ship going in the wrong direction and lay down and go to sleep. You don't go to sleep without some kind of peace. False peace. So he has his false peace. And he's on his way. And he knows he's not doing what God has told him to do, but he thinks maybe God's just forgot about it now and he'll get somebody else to do it. You know, when God lays something heavy on your heart to do, but you don't want to do, and then you think after a period of time, since God doesn't talk to you anymore about it, that it's okay, it's over with. God tells you, he says, I want you to go over there and ask your wife to forgive you. And you say, well, I will if she will first, and if she asks me, then I'll go and I'll tell her I'm sorry. And you go on about your way. Or maybe God tells you to go ask a coworker or somebody at work to ask for their forgiveness because what you said and what you did was wrong. But you know, and you just don't. Or he tells you to do something. Go help somebody and you don't. Go mow your neighbor's yard. My favorite TV show's on. And you don't. Or to give a gift to somebody, help somebody, and you don't. It's the same type of thing. You're running from God, what he's called you to do. And it can go so far as you get into escapism. You've got to get this out of your mind because it's been bothering you. God dealt with you a long time ago about doing something, going to somewhere, doing something for somebody, and you didn't do it. And so now you got to get it out of your mind. Maybe you got to entertain yourself. You got to stay busy at work, or you got to play video games, or you got to stay busy. You got to do something. It's called escapism. And so he went down to Joppa, paid the fare, went down into the ship, and little does he know, he's about to go down into the ocean, and then he's going to go down in the belly of a whale. Anytime you run from God, it's down. It's always down. It's not good to run from God. And so there's always going to be a boat there to take you where you want to go. Well, it must be God. It must be God because we got the money. It must be God because this door opened up. Satan opens doors too, don't you know? And so they're on the ship. The ship pulls out, and it says, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm, so that the ship was about to break up. But Jonah had gone down into the belly of the hold of the ship, lain down, fallen asleep. What a picture of the church today. What's going to happen in September? What's going to happen before this year's over? Calamities, earthquakes, famines, all these things that Jesus predicted and told us was going to happen, persecution of Christians and so forth, in Matthew 24, all the things that we don't know. We don't know what all is, but storms are coming. And they're already happening in various parts of the world and coming to our world. And it's not to get us afraid. It's not to make us afraid. So he goes and he's in this ship, and all of a sudden the storm comes. And the only one with the message of the gospel is lying asleep in the bottom of a ship. The church. Yeah. I know we're supposed to witness. Yeah, I know. But we got things to do. I know we're supposed to witness. I know we're supposed to get the gospel out. I will. When I'm not so busy. Right now, I got a lot to do. It's just not the right time. See, they won't listen anyway. And so the world is perishing, and the only one with the hope of the gospel is lying asleep in the bottom of the ship. And he's so depressed with his life and discouraged with the way his life's turned out, he's saying, let somebody else do it. God, just get somebody else. God doesn't want anybody else. He wants to use you. You're still here. You're still breathing his oxygen. You're still where you are. You still live there in the same house. You're still here because God wants to use you. If he wanted to use somebody else, he'd have taken you out. But you're here because he wants to use you. But here's a strange, confusing thing. When a believer is running from what God's told him to do, he is spiritually sleeping while other people are perishing. No concern about the neighbors. No concern about they're only one breath away from hell. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that people without Jesus, oh, they may be good people, but people without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they are one breath away from hell for eternity? I want to know if you really believe that. Raise your right hand before God if you really believe. If you don't, I'm not trying to pressure you. If you really believe that, then you've got a mission. And it's a serious one. A neighbor, a coworker, someone at school, suddenly, without any warning, they die of a heart attack, or they get cancer, they die, or they die in a car accident. And you do the right thing. Much as you don't want to, you go to the funeral. You go to the funeral and you sit there, and they go through all the ceremony. They sing Amazing Grace and some songs. And you've been next to this person. You spent time with this person. But you never dared to share the gospel with them for some reason. You're afraid. You're afraid they would reject you. You never talked to them about Jesus. And you sit there and you wonder, I wonder where they are right now. I mean, they're a good person, so surely they must have been saved. No, the Bible doesn't say good people are saved. It says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But you have to sit there with some shame and some guilt that you shouldn't have to carry because you never opened your mouth to warn them. You never told them about, you know, there is life after this life. There is a heaven or hell. You didn't even give them a gospel tract. You didn't tell them anything about Jesus. And now you sit there and you wonder, boy, I hope somebody witnessed to them. And you know, it was God's plan that you witnessed to them. You at least warned them. This is the message of Jonah. It was God's plan that he would send this man to go warn the city of judgment to come. And by the way, judgment does come. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we must warn people of the judgment to come, but tell them of the great gospel of the grace of God that can save anyone, anywhere, anytime, if they'll just put their faith and trust in Christ alone and trust in him, the Savior. He's already died for your sins. But you must believe in him and receive him. And so, they're on this ship, and I mean, it is a whirlwind of a storm. So much so that the captain and the sailors are scared. They know that this is not just a storm. This is something supernatural. Now, they were superstitious to the point. It says in verse 6, so the captain of the ship, he went and approached Jonah, and he says, what are you doing sleeping down here? The ship's about to break up. All the sailors and all the people on board, they're calling out to their gods because they believed in various gods. Some are calling on the sea god. Some are calling on the moon god. Some are calling on the sun god. Some are calling on the wind god. They're calling on their gods because we're in a desperate situation. The boat is about to break up. There's no way we can say it. Get up and call on your god. And so while this is going on, these sailors are up there and they're casting lots, kind of like dice or drawing straws, and they put everybody's name on one and they cast lots. And sure enough, God made sure it pointed Jonah out. They were casting lots to see who is behind this. What God is angry at some man. This is a curse. This is something evil. Something bad is going on here. We know it. Who is it? God's show us. And they cast the lots and there's Jonah's name. And they come to him and said, hey, We know it's you. It's got your name on it. Who are you? Where are you from? Who are your people? What's your occupation? Tell us something about you. And he fesses up. He says, well, I'm Jonah. I'm a Hebrew. I believe in the one true God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. And I'm running away from him. He's called me to do something. And I said, no. And they said, why have you brought this trouble on us? When a believer is out of the will of God, he brings trouble on innocent people. Why are you bringing this trouble on us? What must we do? And he says, well, he's so depressed. Now think about it. A man would say that he's so depressed and so obstinate and so stubborn, he's still not ready to say, God, I'll do whatever you want to do, even with the storm. Instead, he says, if you throw me overboard, you guys will be all right. If you just kill me, he's planning on, just kill me. I'd rather die. Any believer here who's ever said that, you don't think your circumstances are ever going to get any better, so you say, you know, I'd just rather die. I know you said it. And they said, no way, we're not going to do that. If we do that, that'd be murder, and we could be in serious trouble for it. So they rowed harder and harder and harder. And finally, they rowed until they couldn't row anymore. And they decided, well, maybe it is a good idea. we can't do anything else, and this ship's about to break up. And they said, God of the Hebrews, whoever you are, please don't hold this man's blood against us. We're only doing what he told us to do because we don't know what else to do. And they grabbed him and they threw him overboard. And don't get the idea in your mind that Jonah's out there struggling trying to swim. No, he's so depressed and so over with life, he didn't even try to tread water. He just goes down. As far as he's concerned, he's just ready to die. And he goes down in the water, down and down and down in the cold deep. But the strange thing is, the moment he hit the water, the wind ceased. The water was as flat as a lake. And these seasoned sailors and captain went, whoa! You would have too. Now they knew that the God of the Hebrews was God. And it says immediately they made sacrifices to that God, and they made vows to him. In other words, they got saved. As a result of seeing this sign and this wonder, they got saved. So we have to ask the question, because I want to clear this up and I'm going to stop early here, but we got to realize, was God angry at Jonah? Oh, no, no. If he'd been angry, there wouldn't have been nothing left of him. No, no, no. God, it looks, see, if with the worldly eye, if you're not careful, you'll read this wrong. God's not angry with Jonah. God already knew what Jonah would do. God wasn't even disappointed with Jonah, because if he was disappointed, that would mean he didn't know what was going to happen. But God is so far ahead of us that the Bible says that God had prepared a great fish. God had prepared. See, people say, was it a whale? We don't know. It was a great, I think it was a one-of-a-kind fish. It was just the right size for Jonah. It might not have been anyone ever like it again. We don't know if it's a whale or not. But God had prepared a great fish because he knew this was going to happen. And so God prepared, he appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus himself validated the book of Jonah that it was true by quoting this scripture in the Gospels, speaking about himself. And so God wasn't angry at Jonah. Was God getting revenge on Jonah for being a rebellious servant? No. What's actually happening here, ladies and gentlemen, is the grace of God is at work, trying to spare Jonah, trying to restore Jonah, trying to work with Jonah, trying to convince Jonah. Even when he goes in disobedience down to the ship and gets on board going a total different direction, God in his mercy and his grace sends a storm that scared the daylights out of the captain and the sailors. But Jonah was so obstinate it didn't scare him. Shows you how hard-hearted he was. And then when they threw him overboard, he still didn't repent. He'd just rather die. I'm done. Take my life. I don't care anymore. I give up. And then when the fish comes along and swallows him, he's in there for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, everybody say, then. Oh, that's a big word. You have a then in your life too. See? Then you woke up. Then you came to your senses. Then you realized God had been merciful to you. God wasn't angry with you. Then, what was your then? You got one. Then. And that's when things began to change. Then Jonah prayed. First time he prayed for a long time. He prayed to the Lord his God out of the stomach of the great fish. And all of chapter 2 is his prayer. And there's just one point I want to show you. He said in verse 8 of chapter 2, this is Jonah's prayer. He says, those who regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Do you understand what he's saying? And then he offers sacrifices. He's repentant. He didn't pray much before this. Why? Why wouldn't a man who gets in a storm that the ship's about to break up, why wouldn't he cry out to his God and say, oh God, I'm sorry, I'll do what you want me to do? Why wouldn't he, after he's thrown overboard, knowing that he's going to drown, why wouldn't he pray, oh God, forgive me, I'll do whatever you want me to do now? You know. Why in the belly of a fish it took 3 days before he said, Lord, help me? Why? Why? There has to be a reason. I think he was convinced it was too late for him. Like somebody here is convinced it may be too late for you. He was depressed like somebody here is depressed. He had said in his mind, I've gone too far. Like some of you have said, I've gone too far. And he described God as a God who was going to have mercy on Nineveh, but he wouldn't be able to have mercy on him. You see how deceived sin is. And he said, I'm a dead man. I can't get any lower than this. And Satan comes along at that moment when you're depressed and when you're running from God and when you know you're in known disobedience. And Satan comes along and says, you're a failure. You're a failure as a husband. You're a failure as a father. You're a failure as a teenager. You're a failure as a student. You're a failure as a wife. You're a failure. And next thing you know, you start saying those things. Well, I'm a failure. I failed at this. And you're repeating what Satan has put in your mind. Life is over for you. It's ended. Not even God can save you now. Surely he must have heard that in the belly of the whale. For 3 days and three nights, he listened to Satan. And as long as you're listening to Satan, I'm telling you that's as close as hell on earth as you'll ever get. Stop listening to his lies. And he was in hell as far as he was concerned. Jonah chapter 1, a man running from God. Jonah chapter 2, man starts running to God. And he said, those who regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There's a reason God's throne's called a throne of mercy. He sits on a mercy seat. Lamentations 3, 22, 23 says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Right now we live in a time of grace and mercy. And anybody, anywhere, I don't care what you've done or how dark you've been or what you've been involved in, if you've been involved in witchcraft and sorcery, whatever it is, you can come out of that darkness and quit believing those lies, and you can find mercy and grace at the throne of God and be forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future, and God can make you a brand new creation. And I close with this. And then the Lord ordered the fish to spit up Jonah. He'd served his purpose. And he spit him up on dry ground. And the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Arise and go to Nineveh and preach to it. He's the God of a second chance. And third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. How many of we know that's true? But see, here's the point. God's mission has not changed. God's plan has not changed. And the people whom God wants to use has not changed. What needs to change is the people need to change their attitude toward God's plan. And when that happens, you have what's called revival or awakening. Because people take serious, God has an assignment on my life. The assignment is not to be a great CEO or own a business. That's all byproduct. My assignment is to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My mission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Doesn't say you're going to win them all, but go tell them. Go warn them of the judgment that is coming and witness to them of the mighty grace of God that's available to anyone right now who would just be willing enough to say, I believe.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.